On the telephone line, he's our man. He was the first guest on the show 13 and a half years ago, and now, much like me, unemployed in the broadcasting business, Gary Tangway. Hello, Gary.
And when they tell you unemployed is overrated, it's not.
No, it's not so bad at all.
Underrated. Being unemployed is vastly underrated.
Oh, I know. So listen, I want to take care of the somewhat serious stuff first, and that is, and I've told you this before, but I'm not sure the show would have existed without your help. I reached out to you like 14 years ago and told you what I wanted to do, and you said, well, listen, I'll help you out. I'm going to open some doors. You gave me a spreadsheet. I've still got it with the numbers of a whole bunch of Boston media people, and you said, I'll get them for you once. You got to keep them. And you opened a whole lot of doors for us, and we wouldn't have been able to do what we've done without your help. And then you being a guest with us pretty much on a monthly basis since the dawn of time.
Well, Rich, I was happy to do it because I wouldn't have been able to do what I have done with my career if it wasn't for you giving me an opportunity at Big Country Radio when I was a freshman at college and hiring me for weekends. And then especially a run where I attempted to be the social chairman of Delta Upsilon fraternity and do a Sunday morning shift. And let's just say I was late more than once. You had patience with me at the time. But, you know, working at WBGW and ABI with you and, you know, Hale and everybody else, I mean, it was a great experience. And it, without question, was a huge help to me. So I was happy to help you.
Well, now, of course, Hale's story is that he hired you now because you've been successful. So Hale claims that, and I just let him go with it at this point. The man's 107 years old.
Right. I mean, Hale would go Tordway, Wangtay, whatever. Yeah.
You were part of what might have been the stupidest idea out of many I've had in my long radio career. And I know you'll remember this. I don't remember the year. Sometime in the 80s, but you and I were dispatched to Portland to cover state championship basketball games. And I think it was a split day that there were a couple of morning games and then a couple of evening games. And I remember we went back to the hotel. We had lunch. There might have been a beverage or two consumed. And we actually contemplated, as you might recall, whether we could broadcast the games from the hotel room, order room service, and just turn up the volume on the TV broadcast for crowd noise.
There's no doubt. I mean, it was discussed and it was heavily considered because what happened during COVID, and my old partner, Donnie Marshall, will bear witness to this, did all of the color commentary for all the Big East games from his basement. It could have been done. It could have been revolutionary. And if maybe the menu was a little bit better at the Holiday Inn in Portland, we would have been. That was given great consideration. I will tell you this, during my days in college and when Rich and I were doing this stuff, doing the games was, I mean, it was a blast, but it was all the other stuff. I mean, it was emceeing at the Roundup. It was getting to know all of the basketball boys there, you know, Bud and Charlie and, you know, working with Throck and all the characters, my God, that came through this place, that came through ABI or, you know, playing on the softball team or going on road trips to cover games. That's all great stuff. And that's what I try to tell. I'm teaching at Emerson now. And that's what I try to tell my students. I go, you know, don't forget to, like, just enjoy what you're doing. You know, but, you know, you'll get there. Just have fun along the way. And, Rich, we certainly had a lot of fun.
Oh, and Reba McEntire can attest to that fact. I remember the show well that we did down at the Roundup. I hope our friend Cooper is listening, who remembers when Reba came. And I'll give the slightly cleaned up version of the story, which was, and we were both young, you were a little bit younger than me, and you, I don't want to say you were swearing like a longshoreman.
Oh,
but
I think I dropped an F-bomb.
And then sometime during the course of the night, I think I convinced you that Reba was extremely religious and was probably offended by you dropping that F-bomb, and you got very, very concerned. And then I'll never forget, at the end of the night, we went backstage to thank Reba for everything. We were on her bus, and you gave her a big hug and said, Reba, God bless you.
Smelling like a brewery. Yeah. Reba, God bless you.
And
you set me up good on that one.
I believe the Bellamy brothers might have enticed us to break a law or two down there at some point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Billy Crash Crash. I mean, there was a bunch.
Yeah.
Mo Bandy. We had a ball. I mean, we had a blast. Oh,
it was crazy. Why they let us do that is beyond me. Do you remember the summer?
We did it. I mean, it's not like, listen, I loved Cooper and I loved the place, but it's not like every Tom, Dick, and Harry was knocking down the door to work, you know, to get in an MC. I mean, you had to go to Ellsworth, and it was a blast. We had a good time.
I found some reel-to-reel tapes the other day, and I've got to bring them in here sometime while the other stations are still operating. I believe I found the tapes from a summer when you and I decided that every Friday on the old WABI would be a beach party day, and we did it as if we were at a beach party, complete with sound effects.
Yeah, we just went outside and like on the sidewalk at 35 Hilton.
Yeah, absolutely.
And had some fun, put on some Hawaiian shirts, and everybody thought we were weird, but we were having a good time.
That's what it's all about.
I remember that. Yeah, it was fun. That's back when radio was fun, Rich.
I'm not taking shots at any of the people who work at the corporate radio stations locally, but, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't happen
it's
when
a different
you've got
world. Look, yeah. I mean, we could pick our own music.
Right.
We could pick. And then I remember when I got, it wasn't too far after when I started working on a radio station, I was basically doing sports, but Rich taught me. Rich was very good. It's like how you mix music. And that's what a lot of club DJs do now. Is how do they and what a lot of I can't remember the name of some of these guys who are not necessarily artists or musicians, but they're music producers, and how they mix music. And Rich was very good at it and would say, you know, you got to know how to mix music and move from one song to another. There was a real artistry to being a disc jockey. And then computers just took out of it. It was like they told you what to play. They told you what to say. And then, you know. They kind of took the personality out of it.
Well, you're a study in perseverance too, Gary, because I remember for a time there you were selling bank signs for a while before you got yourself firmly into that Boston market.
Well, yeah, I was working at WERZ in Exeter, New Hampshire. I think I was 23, and I wasn't making any money. And I was doing morning sports on a station in Portsmouth, and I was also working in a Kittery trading post. And I was like, you know, my friends all started to make money. One of my buddies was going to law school. Another guy was an engineer. Another guy was a town manager. And, you know, on the weekends, and I never asked my parents for money. I was like, I got to do something. So the copy editor at the station, his father-in-law ran this company that sold bank signs. And they did it all across the country. Extremely profitable. I mean, the guys that sell widget, I mean, extremely profitable. And they said, we get a sales position. And I took it. And my pay increased immensely. And it was a great experience. But while that was happening, I got part-time work at EEI in Boston. So I would go in on a Saturday and do a talk shift or host the Bruins pre- and post-game. And then after about 3 years or 4 years of doing that, which sales was a wonderful experience of thinking on your feet and understanding people and the way it works and also, just understanding that people who are older than you are smarter than you just because they've lived life more. It gave me a lot of confidence. And when I got back into radio, a friend of mine was working at BZ Radio, Rick Ratzik, who's now he's the program director of the Sports Hub, said, you know, you got to get back in this. And he gave me a job and I got back into it. And, then, you know, as I tell the story, and if there's anybody listening, yeah, I got drunk with the right guy. That's how I ended up on TV. It's the truth. I mean, all those drinks, all those beers at the Roundup came in handy because the executive sports producer at Channel 4, who was working with Lobel, blah, 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 at the time, Alan Miller, he and I did some radio stuff together. And, you know, Rich, you and I know as well as anybody, 90% of it is just being able to work with people.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I just always loved working with people. And so Miller and I at the WBC Christmas party lit the place up, and we ended up at a bar in Boston at 4 a.m. And he was like, I'm going to put you on TV. And he stuck to it. he was blitzed out of his mind. And I still talk to him today. I talk to Alan all the time. And a month later, I was like on Channel 4 as like a freelancer. So you just never know, man. You know, just and then that's when I was really able to, you know, do some stuff. Very fortunate.
Well, and I remember running into you at Fenway. This may be 20 years ago, and you said, Rich, it's it's who you know. There are people in the Bangor market who are better than people working in Boston. There are people on the air in Boston that you wouldn't even dream of putting in on the air in Bangor, and that's what it is.
Well, it all depends. It's that, but it also depends on where you want to live.
Right.
You know, one of the things, like, if you're working in Bangor and you've had a very comfortable life and you taught and you got out of the business and you've lived a very full, you're not dead yet. This isn't your eulogy, by the way.
No, I might be.
But you've lived a very full life. You know, a lot of it matters where you live. And some people just, you know, in order to get into the Boston market, thankfully, Hale never gave me a full-time job, in all honesty. That was kind of like, he didn't want to give me a full-time job, which is fine. I was the college kid who worked weekends and when it was in a fraternity and tank, blah, 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 this and that. So he didn't give me a full-time job. So I went south and I got a job in Portland, then Portsmouth, and then eventually Boston. In order to get into the Boston market, you got to work your way up. You know, you got to kind of start on the bottom. And if you're already at on top in Bangor, it's very hard to change that lifestyle, you know, and all of a sudden find yourself working Saturday nights in Boston. You know, because at the end of the day, radio and TV is radio and TV. It really is. And you make more money in Boston, but it's sure as hell is a hell of a lot more expensive to live. But yeah, I mean, I've talked to people all over the place that, like, minor league baseball announcers, and I hear them and I go, this guy should be in the major league. And they're just happy where they are, yeah. You know.
What's going on with acting? When's the movie coming out you did with James L. Brooks?
Yeah, well, you know, Jim hasn't been picking up the phone.
Ah!
So I don't... it's supposed to come out in the spring. But boy, the business is crazy. And, you know, I was doing some auditions towards the end of the year, and then it really went quiet. January's supposed to pick up. But yeah, the James L. Brooks movie with Jamie Lee Curtis and Albert Brooks, and it's supposed to come out in, I think, April, something like that. March, April, Ellen McKay. So we'll see.
I was just packing up some books to take home with me, and there was your book, which I say to you, I'm not just saying it because it's you. I loved it. The Arm in the Fall was a great read. It should turn into a movie at some point because it's very cinematic, and you got to kick that writer's block and come up with a new one.
Well, we're working on something, Rich, as we speak.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Rocky Suarez has a new adventure.
Oh, love it.
I'll just leave it at that. And I've partnered up with a producer to try to make something happen. So I'm trying, and also started to write a second book. But thanks. That was a lot of fun to write, and it's definitely cinematic. I mean, actually, Stephen King's book is the reason I had the confidence to start writing. But, you know, I'm not Hemingway. I kind of get to the point and have some fun with it. So it was a lot of fun to write, and hopefully, knock on wood, it'll be on the screen. We're trying.
All right, fingers crossed for that. Well, listen, you've had great success out there in the podcast world. You do the podcast with Bob Ryan. You do your film podcast as well. Any advice to me as I venture into what is new territory?
Is there anybody in the studio I know?
Who is in the studio? Let's see. All of our former and current producers, Kerry Haskell, Brian Stackpole, Ryan Waning, the estimable Danny Cashman, Emmy-nominated host of The Night Show, Wednesday co-host Bruce Pratt, Alan Adams, longtime friend of the show, Eric Meehan, owner of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Did I mention Pat Speckhart, local broadcast legend? Anybody. And then some guys off the street we don't know, but they brought booze.
Yeah. Well, no, what I want to say, and I hope everybody encourages Rich, because this is what I told him. I think that, while I've enjoyed coming on with Rich, the reason Rich has been able to keep so many of these guests that I help him with, and also other people that he got, some big names, you know, Jeff Daniels and so forth, and various actors, and Mary Lou Henner, and, you know, people who repeat guests who come on, is because of his great interviewing skills. So my suggestion is 1 hour a week, make it a great conversation with as big a name as you can get. You know, keep in touch with some of these big Hollywood names or political names that you work, and quality versus quantity. Because that's the thing I think, you know, I still fill in on BC Radio a little bit. You know, as you know, Rich, you've come on with me. and you do 4 hours,
yeah,
and it's long.
Mm.
And people, you know, people in the podcast world like do an hour, but they, or they do an hour and a half and they edit it, but they do a really good hour. You know, like the Smartless guys, I mean, they still break a lot of rules. You know,
right.
They take forever to ask a question, and all, but they keep it at an hour. So it's really good. And I just think that you need to do an hour and keep interviewing these great people that, that you've made contact with, because I think that will take off. Because it's not like radio. You know, it's definitely quality. You can do 10 episodes over 10 weeks, right? You don't have to do 50.
Right, right.
And that's what I think you should do.
Well, we'll definitely do weekly, but whether you like it or not, I'm still going to keep calling you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll help you any way I can.
I mean, no, I mean to come on the show and talk to me.
Well, I mean, you know, okay, oh, shucks.
But seriously, my man, thank you so much for everything through the years. Some secrets I'll take to the grave, but it's been a great run. We're not done yet. We'll do more with you going forward.
Well, I appreciate it, Rich. Listen, congratulations to everybody in the studio. It's been a great run for you. Everybody knows you're very talented, and I think that podcasting has benefited because people outside of Bangor have been able to hear you. And that's why, you know, I'm sure you'll have a lot of success going forward.
Well, a lot of the people in Bangor said I should get out of town, too. So we'll see how that works out. Gary,
yeah,
we thank you.
Brewer.
That's it. It's nice there this time of year. Happy New Year to you and the family, Gary.
You too, Richard.
Are the kids,
everybody.
Are the kids home for the holiday?
Yes.
Well, you enjoy that, and you'll get to
back.
You'll get to rest again soon. Thanks, Gary.
All right, I'll see you. Bye bye.
See you, bud. Gary Tanguay with us here on Downtown.